Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's the one and the only, now current host of Russell Radio, and we're going by East Coast time. So it's 4 p.m. And all the real, let's talk about Monday Night Raw last night. You want to talk about the take-home Raw that, you know, it was, it had all the pieces and all the elements to it to bring it full circle that now Survivor Series teams are being completed. Guys are trying to prove their self-worth to their brand. Not that it matters, but, you know, it does matter if you're a wrestling fan. So, last night on Monday Night Raw, the Shield basically came back full form because Roman Reigns is no longer under viral infection, so he's been cleared to work. And still getting, you know, I don't know, maybe the crowd finally, it depends on where you're at, they still love him or hate him, you never know. But anyways, Raw had a lot of in-between matches. The matches that I started watching, it was probably in mid-show, was a cruiserweight match featured Enzo Amore, Andrew Gulak versus Akira Tozawa and Kalisto. A lot of high-flying, a lot of suicide dives, a lot of moonsaults, attempted seated senton by Akira Tozawa. Fast forward that match. Enzo hits the Giardanzo on Akira Tozawa, ends up getting the 1-2-3. At Survivor Series, Enzo will defend the Cruiserweight Championship against Kalisto. I don't know if that has any importance tonight, but you know what? Here's the thing. Yes, Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. That segment kind of took up time because Raw is a three-hour show. So Paul Heyman said, trying to interrupt my promo is like Brock Lesnar facing someone in the ring for the very first, you know, the very first time. You don't have a chance in hell. So it's kind of funny that Atlanta tried interrupting Paul Heyman. I'm pretty sure they had a lot to drink because, you know, at wrestling shows, it's a lot of fun. You drink beer, you're rowdy, you're having a good time. Oh, yes, and Bayley, this is the women's side of things. In order for her to earn her way into the women's match at Survivor Series, which I'm sick and tired of seeing this bullshit, so I'll just call it like it is. Even though, despite what Paige has gone through, it would have been a perfect fit, in my opinion, because she was backstage. There were pictures of her on Twitter with Alicia Fox. And is that the reason why fans didn't get the treat of having Paige return? I don't know, and I don't really, at this point, care for that matter, because she's a great performer, she's a great competitor, and it would have been nice to see Paige, but you have to fill a match, so Bayley, Sasha, Asuka, Nia, they will be representing Team Raw on Alicia Fox, the team captain. So they'll be facing Becky Lynch, Tamina, Naomi, Charlotte, if Charlotte, you know, can do two matches, which I'm assuming she can. Charlotte faces, speaking of Charlotte Flair, she faces Natalya tonight. And speaking of Survivor Series, Monday Night Raw featured tag teams versus tag teams. Six-man tags versus, well, a six-man tag match took place. It was the sub-main, which I didn't quite understand why it was booked where it was. But I guess I'll just go with the flow because it's a 3-hour production. It's not my production. It's not my doing. Maybe it was, you know, play safe card because, I mean, after all, after Jason Jordan versus Bray Wyatt, we all saw what happened. I know I'm backtracking a lot, but still, here it is. Did anyone really want to see Jason Jordan as the fifth member of Team Monday Night Raw? Because if so, Raw really wouldn't hold the edge over Team SmackDown Live. No offense, Team SmackDown Live just kind of looks like a jumbled mess, with the exception of Randy Orton and Nakamura on their team. So I guess Commissioner Shane McMahon, the captain of SmackDown Live, chose John Cena to be a part of Team SmackDown Live as the fifth and final piece. So what did Team Raw do? Was it premeditated? Was that supposed to happen? I don't care. I don't really. But Triple H, I'm going to say it nicely. That man, no matter if he's heel or babyface, going into any match, I've always been a fan, so I'm happy. I'm happy that Triple H is working. I'm happy that he's facing off against, you know, he's teaming with Kurt Angle. So this is, Raw just has a dream team. You got Finn Balor, Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, and Triple H. You talk about dream teams. You've got on the other side, you've got Randy Orton, Nakamura, Bobby Roode, Shane McMahon, and John Cena. It may be an odd pairing, no matter which way you look at it, no matter if you have a biased hatred towards John Cena, no matter if you have a biased hatred towards Shane McMahon. I don't know who you have a biased hatred towards, but Monday Night Raw, let's just say it. If you were to book the first match, shouldn't have been the Triple Threat women's match or the second match. Now the fact that Sasha and Bayley are teamed together, I don't really care as long as I get to see Asuka again for the – I've only seen her 4 times now. I've seen her in Brooklyn. I have seen her in Salina, Kansas. This woman, is there anybody that can beat her? Is she going to be like the first person, you know, like The Undertaker to show up against Hulk Hogan at Survivor Series? Is she going to go through people like a one-woman wrecking crew? I don't know. But Survivor Series in Houston is also special because of NXT. NXT War Games, there's going to be 2 rings, 3 tag teams for the NXT Tag Team Champions, 2 cages. I mean, this is going to be explosive. I'm going to take pictures like you wouldn't believe. Sanity, Authors of Pain, and the new Undisputed New Era. I mean, is there any indication that NXT is not doing something over the top, then it's not NXT. And by over the top, you can do it one of 2 ways. You can book it a horrible, horrible way for the card, or the card can be booked horribly, or it can be one hell of a card. So, comparatively speaking, what happened on Monday Night Raw that made me go, well, the only thing that I can complain about would be why was there booking a main event of Braun Strowman versus Kane? The only cool thing that happened in the entire brawl that broke out between Kane and Strowman, the fact that the ring, the power slam spot that they did in the middle of the ring where Strowman took Kane through the ring, I guess they're trying to emphasize that Strowman's the only monster. And I don't really, I can see why the man is huge. I've actually been near Braun Strowman before, and let me tell you, nice guy, but wouldn't want to take him off. Let me get back to the point. The Miz, the promos were long. They were back to being drawn out again. Was it because they're trying to tell a story? I don't know. The Miz always is decent promos. No, he's by far the best. You know, if Chris Jericho wasn't facing off with Kenny Omega, I'd say you put a microphone in Chris Jericho's hands, Kevin Owens' hands. By far the best at promos. So promos on Raw, a bit lengthy. need to get into the action more. I get that Raw has to explain more than SmackDown Live does. But now I'm at a conundrum, guys. My favorite wrestler, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, is stepping into the ring. And, man, does he look like he hasn't lost a step. Triple H will always be and forever be one of the top guys in WWE history books. Why? Not only does he work and wrestle, he helps find talent, but he has good eyes around him like William Regal. Look at Triple H. The man looks like he hasn't missed anything since he wrestled. The announcement came right after Jason Jordan begged his father, in quote, Kurt Angle, why can't you let me wrestle? I'll be ready by Sunday, blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I am happy that Jason Jordan is not working that match because, honestly, the WWE has made a few scratches to their card, and that's fine. Card subject to change, a little continuation from last episode, but what in the hell? Main event versus the sub-main. The sub-main would have made more sense to be the main event. The Shield versus the Bar and the Miz, but the Miz Taraj at ringside. Yeah, a little bit more build between those two teams. And the Shield announcing at Survivor Series that they're facing the New Day. So they put the fans who, I don't know, there's some that like the Shield, there are some that love the New Day, there's some that like both because they bring so much flavor to the table. The two best current groups right now, taking a look at current in wrestling, I'm not negating the Bullet Club, but that worldwide phenomenon never grows old because it's too sweet. Speaking of that, the Bullet Club went toe-to-toe with Samojo and Finn Balor. Now, at the beginning of the match, you didn't think that Balor and Joe could work together as a team. Well, they're going to have to on Sunday, and they proved that they could. It seemed like the booking wasn't terrible. It's the positioning of the matches that kind of had me just a little criticism, just not too much. It wasn't a bad card. Raw didn't have a terrible card last night. Although nothing, because taking a look at what we're seeing as a preview of the take-home Raw before Survivor Series, you're looking at, which one's better? Which roster holds the key to unlocking the fans' hearts? I personally like SmackDown Live because they're an underrated roster. No one gives them a chance. They've always been known as the B show. They attacked Monday Night Raw, so if they attack them and they don't have something up their sleeve, then I don't know what to tell you because personally I've seen Triple H and Shane go toe-to-toe. They're not unfamiliar with each other. They've been around ever since the dawning of the Attitude Era and everything else. So what can you guys look forward to seeing at Survivor Series? I can tell you right now, man. When you look at the card for Survivor Series, what do you see? You see fantasy matchups that you can only dream of that you probably, when you're playing 2K18, you're like, man, I wonder what the Shield versus the New Day would be like. I wonder if there might be any surprises that the Shield holds in store. I couldn't tell you. Because at every pay-per-view, it's either one big dud or it surprises people and it turns out to be fucking amazing. So I'm going to take a break from WWE talk because,
2-hour special today because why? It's a previous Survivor Series. I mean, why not? Oh, and it's time for the advertisements. If you want to catch the spectacular, that is WWE NXT War Games and also WWE Survivor Series presented in Houston at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. You can sign up for free. You get 1 month free. But if you decide to get a preloaded WWE card, it's $29.97. You get 3 months after that, you get Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. Because you got 4 months total, right? 1 month free and 3 months after that. So you get pretty much three good pay-per-views, depending upon the quality that it is. Only $9.99 a month or $29.97 on a preloaded card. You can keep getting the preloaded cards at your local GameStops, Dollar Generals, 7-Elevens, and even Best Co. And you can even purchase those prepaid cards on the WWE.com under WWE Shop. If you want to pay on another method, you can pay with a gift card. You can also pay with a valid debit or credit card. Must sign up with a valid username or password. Speaking of networks, if you like to pay $7.99 or $8.99, depending on the price that Danny Cage is listed, go to monsterfactory.org, click on the website, click on Monster Factory Network, and sign up today to catch all the action that is Monster Factory. Speaking of Monster Factory, if you would like to train to become a professional wrestler, manager, referee, announcer, ring announcer, timekeeper, bellkeeper, whatever you want to be, go to monsterfactory.org, sign up today. Contact Danny Cage, the head trainer, owner, and coach at monsterfactory.org. Or you can contact the phone number that is on his Instagram, the website, Twitter, and Facebook. For more information, contact Danny Cage. Call him directly or send him a text message and get to the point. Make your dreams of becoming a pro wrestler come true. You want connections? Danny's got them. You just got to work hard for those. And make sure that you do his seminars and camps whenever they may be. Go to monsterfactory.org for more information about Danny Cage's seminars, camps, and collaborations. Speaking of wrestling schools, for those of you interested in becoming a pro wrestler in the Midwest, there are plenty of options. You can go to Brave for Black, Tyler Black School in Iowa. You can also sign up for a school in the Midwest called NWLTPC. It is located off of Swift Street in North Kansas City, Missouri. If you have any questions, be sure to call the number, go to NWLTPC.com, look under wrestling school, schedule you an appointment today, schedule an audition. The price should be listed for that, or for more information, call the NWL TPC offices. The phone number should be listed on the website. For those of you fighting the good fight against cancer, go to SusanGComan.org. Donate. Make sure you take walks. Kick cancer square in the ass. You can buy and purchase different items that have been auctioned by Dana Warrior on WWE.com. Be sure that you put time and effort in donating for these amazing women who have survived breast cancer. They are truly the kick-ass warriors in this world. Oh, and for those of you wanting to catch anything Evolve, Wrestling Revolver, CZW, Ring of Honor, Chikara Pro Wrestling, go to flowslam.com. Make sure you get your subscription date. Well, and, you know, also anything MPJW because Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho will be an amazing, amazing match at WK12 next year. In January of 2018. How awesome is that to start off the new year? So, ladies and gentlemen, if you also would like to catch Wrestle Radio at its normal time, you can do so. Normally, I air it around Midwest time, so that's 5 Eastern, 4 Central. But today, I'm airing in a special 2 hours because here it is.
I'm going to briefly touch on why Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho has definitely impacted the way things are getting booked. Does it affect the way that does it affect the way things are normally done around all of wrestling? I'm pretty sure that promoters are taking notice of this because Chris Jericho, great performer, great man, and let me just tell you this right now. I don't think very many people will understand what this match means. I mean, I'm sure people who have read about it say, oh, Chris Jericho's missing out. How in the hell is he missing out when he has been trying to sign since August of this year? The WWE put him in a position, you know, it wasn't terrible, it wasn't great, but you know what? He still managed to improve upon his craft. He even came up with a brand new catchphrase. You just made the list, and it became a phenomenon in WWE. Now, Kenny Omega is better known to be the man who never ceases to disappoint. And his matches with Okada, his matches with practically everyone that's in WWE right now that has wrestled through Japan. And here's the thing. A lot of people say, well, you can't have too much arrogance in WWE. I'll pause, ladies and gentlemen, just for a few seconds. Give me just a few seconds. So, what exactly does Kenny Omega bring to the table? You have a guy that has all the confidence in the world and has a lot of match experience, a lot of match experience in Japan. Jericho, it's been a minute since he's been through Japan and its system. And doesn't matter, Chris Jericho is like a natural at adapting to any situation. He's a natural at training hard. And he's also a natural performer because, I mean, look, the man has his own rock band. The man has his own cult following from the old days in WCW when people remember him as the Lionheart. He doesn't want to be referred to anymore as Y2J. He would rather much be referred to as the Lionheart, Chris Jericho. I mean, I'd like to know what people think of Chris Jericho returning to the ring, but not in a WWE ring. I'd like to know your thoughts because out of curiosity, I want to know how many of you just putting this out there. How many of you from the fan bases that you followed Chris Jericho from, how many of you are still going to be like, oh yeah, that's Chris Jericho? Or how many of you are going to be like, man, I wish you would have come back to WWE. So it looks like I'm getting some message on Instagram. Jolene from where are you from? Okay, so your question is, what's the big deal if we've never even heard of this Kenny Omega dude? Kenny Omega is a pretty big name in wrestling if you look at him. He was offered a contract by WWE. He was offered a contract by many companies, and he turned them down. Because Japan, if he goes out of Japan, he risks his career, dying off. Speak for Kenny Omega, but I feel that he knows he's smart. Because if he would have taken the contract in WWE, the writers would do nothing more than what? They would try to help him, or they would, do the same thing they're doing to AJ Styles and everyone else, which is formulating a plan for them to be better, formulating their plan for him, I don't know. Like I said, I don't speak for WWE creative, but Kenny Omega, one of the main reasons why he would not go to WWE is because some fans would know who he is. His name's pretty well known. He's worked at WK before. It's the Japanese equivalent of WrestleMania. So to start off the new year, knowing that Chris Jericho is not, you know, attached to a major company like if TNA were still around, or if WWE still had their bearings and, you know, would have done something with him, you know, another championship run. Well, Jericho's kind of bored because he's already done it all. So the undisputed champion, he's won the tag team championship, the Intercontinental, the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, the only thing missing from that equation would have been the Universal Championship. So it's a wonder why the WWE, and I'm going to bring this full circle, it's kind of a wonder why all of a sudden the card changed. Did it have anything to do with Omega and Jericho? I don't know. But it's kind of funny how Mahal is no longer champion. AJ Styles is the current WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and he's going one-on-one with Brock Lesnar versus, you know, the other way around with Jinder Mahal and Lesnar. You heard a lot of groaning from the fans. The question is this all a trap for Survivor Series? I mean, if I go into the pay-per-view thinking, okay, should I give it a chance? Should I, you know, just shut up and enjoy it? I don't know. I paid my money to go see it, so I'm going to enjoy it as much as I can. It's not just a money thing. I've seen the last few WWE pay-per-views, and to be honest with you, Royal Rumble was a huge disappointment. Simply because, you know, you all saw the end result as to what happened. Now there's got to be resolve with Roman Reigns, and it's deafening and it's stupid. You have two guys in the company, okay, that are anchoring the ratings according to WWE because they're so good with children. You've got John Cena, who is returning to SmackDown Live, I guess, because he was a free agent. Everyone says, well, John Cena sucks this, John Cena sucks that. I don't disagree with you on the fact that I'm irritated with seeing him, because I would have rather much seen Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn or anybody on SmackDown Live's roster that can actually fucking work and not do the same shit over and over again. I understand that it's a safety thing and, you know, guys have to get along with other guys in order for them to move forward in the company, but dear God, the only thing that Cena is going to get at Survivor Series is a reaction. And isn't that the goal as a worker? OMG. And other guys who sit there and defend him, you know, it's, why do you defend him? Because, you know, it's your preference. And like I said, I have no qualms, you know, people who are Cena fans, but you do realize that the reason why things happen the way they do, historically speaking, at Survivor Series, which is the pay-per-view known to either make people get up off their asses and cheer, or Survivor Series has been known as the pay-per-view to make people question, okay, why are we fans? When the women's match was the highlight of Survivor Series last year, when Alexa Bliss used to vouch for Team Blue and Nia Jax was still on the other side, it still made you wonder, you know, okay, so what are going to be the highlights for next year? Obviously, you know, I'm happy that Shinsuke Nakamura is on Team Blue. I'm happy that certain matches at Survivor Series have been made. But now I'm at a crossroads because there are certain matches on the Survivor Series card that just doesn't really, I mean, I'm hoping I'm hoping makes sense. Like, the Intercontinental Champion versus the United States Champion, the Women's Champion versus the Women's Champion for, you know, SmackDown Live, Raw versus SmackDown. What can you expect? What can we all expect when I, you know, and others walk in to Toyota Center and the history of Survivor Series is, you know, been around since 19. It's been around since I was fucking born. How odd is that? The 30th anniversary. So I'm definitely going to get a T-shirt for that. I'm definitely going to get my money's worth, hopefully. You know, I can say that all I want. But while I think and contemplate and preview, I'm going to talk to you about something when I get back. So let me just see if I can go a little bit old school for Wrestle Radio, and I'll be back in 10, 20 seconds. Pause for station identification live on Wrestle Radio.
All you wanna do is stop your face and be annoying. All you wanna do with me is fight, 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 fight. All you ever do is make excuses, got you boring. All you wanna do with me is fight, 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 fight. With everything you got inside, you still won't find the courage. Take your tail between your legs and go.
Okay, so NXT going with the War Games theme from WCW. I freaking love this concept because it's been so long since I've seen a WCW-themed ideal and concept put into effect in a any kind of setting because, well, WCW's been out of business for quite some time, and they bootlegged themselves as TNA. So, man, I know that's going to get a lot of debates. TNA was great when they had what WWE has now, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, although the Dudley Boys were here for a brief minute, you know, New Day. Anyways, I'm so glad that NXT War Games has come about because there's one female in particular that I really would like to see win the championship, the NXT Women's Championship, that was vacated after Asuka got injured. And I personally believe that Nikki Cross is ready. Maybe that's just me. I don't know if Ember Moon holding a championship would be awesome or not, but you know what? It's up to the fans and what you guys think, right? So I want to get your thoughts on who should win the women's championship match, who should win the tag team championships. Obviously, Undisputed New Era, they're leaning towards them, but you never know. That's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I'm going to talk to you also on Wednesday, the day before I leave on Thursday from LaGuardia to Kansas City, from Kansas City to Houston. I should just fly to fucking Houston. It's a 4.5-hour flight. Fuck that shit. I personally, you know, I like driving because I don't have to get a rental car. I don't have to do all the pain in the butt stuff. So, I mean, here it is. War Games. Oh, I forgot about Peyton Royce. Seamus Andrade versus Drew McIntyre for the championship. I wonder, you know, it might be a shock value thing. It may not. As much help as he has from his valet, Seamus Andrade, that is, I do sense that Drew McIntyre is going to lose the championship. It's going to draw a lot of heat. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is just my feeling. If Seamus Andrade pulls off the victory, he's going to be a pretty good champion because, like Bobby Roode, he eventually won over all the fans, and that in turn is going to be a popular thing because a lot of times fans tend to drift towards the heels. They still do, and I don't know how to explain this, but there's no dynamic anymore when it comes to fans. There really isn't, unless you come through with a group of people that are either for a babyface, for example, like Sasha and Bayley. They're fans for No Way Jose. They're fans against No Way Jose. They're fans for Velveteen Dream. And Aleister Black. Speaking of which, Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream, this is kind of an interesting rivalry that has been formed. Is there any other match that I haven't covered at NXT War Games? I'm pretty sure that I've covered the main focus of the night, being that Survivor Series is on Sunday, and there's pretty much going to be history made. I wish they made programs for different matches, you guys, but or different events. Let me rephrase that. Because it'd be cool to have a Survivor Series program, you know, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble. Sure, I mean, the printing would cost a hell of a lot of money, but it'd kind of be like knickknacks, and you could sell them, and fans would buy them so that fans could get autographs, you know? Anyways, so my take, which one's going to be better, you ask me? Which pay-per-view? Or which event? Okay, I personally is going to say this right now. It's all up to judgment of the fans and how they react to certain things. There's a lot of NXT fans, so I'm going to tell you right now, NXT, by far, is probably going to overshadow Survivor Series. Why? Because no matter what the outcomes are, the quality of matches that you get from NXT are going to be 10 times better. So Survivor Series? I don't know. Speaking of which, you know, I got a lot of places I want to visit in Houston. It's not just all about wrestling, folks. And usually when I go to an event, I like to go sightseeing. Like last time I went to San Antonio for Royal Rumble, I went to the Alamo, of course, because who wouldn't want to go sightseeing while you're enjoying wrestling, right? You got 3 days, you're in town. So I might go visit the Houston Space Center and take pictures. Might also take some pictures of street art because I am a fan of graffiti. So, and it was like, you're telling me I live in New York. Yeah, I know. I could easily go down the street, a little further down Ryder Street, just a couple blocks, and just see the murals on the wall. Or I could go, you know, to Manhattan and find a big, big graffiti of Spider-Man or something, you know? So is there anything to do, like, when you go traveling for wrestling? Guys, I'm going by myself. So this is going to be highly interesting because I'm not using a rental car. I'm flying into Kansas City to visit family. Then I'm going straight from Kansas City. So I'm going to just, you know, have a day of rest and then go straight from there. So it's going to be interesting. You know, I finally got a decent hotel. Because I've had shitty hotels, you know, the past, and that's my fault. You know, I am the one that made the reservations. Although, staying in a condo in San Antonio was pretty cool. So, aside from staying in places that I'm, you know, not familiar with, like, I've been to San Antonio before. I've been to Texas a lot of times. It's funny that WWE circulates its travels to there and also the East Coast. But they're going to the Big Easy next year, which, by the way, you can get your WrestleMania tickets right on WWE.com, or you can go to StubHub, which is what I do, and you can get your tickets from there. Yes, it is a third-party vendor, Joe. I understand. Yeah, exactly. Just go to the website. And you also go to SeatGeeks.com to get your tickets, or www.MetroSeats.com. If you want group tickets, yes, they do charge tax, Jim. They do. They do charge tax, but it is a good website for WrestleMania. Metro Seats is good for Mania. StubHub is good for WrestleMania. They're going to have plenty of seats. If you want my advice on the Big Easy, fly Southwest. It's cheaper. to get that and the rental car. So, you guys want tips on how to, it's easy, drive. It's therapeutic. You know what? I'm not gonna reveal my hotel because that's something I will never do on air. I never reveal. Okay, most of you know where I'm sitting. Those of you like the locals know where I'm sitting because I posted it on Facebook because I was excited for my Survivor Series. So, how many pay-per-views have I myself been to total? I wouldn't consider it a pay-per-view event, but let's see. Royal Rumble, I've been to 2 Royal Rumbles. I've been to WrestleMania's 29 through 33. Well, let's see. I've been, okay, this is my very first Survivor Series, so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. Traveling, you know what, half the fun is figuring out your finances. That's always the main fucking struggle is figuring out your finances and figuring out, like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to afford food? That's why you always look it up the day or night before, and then you figure it out from there. My favorite Survivor Series moments all include or involve The Undertaker, Triple H, or Stone Cold. Mainly because The Undertaker, I've always been a fan of his, you know, whether heel or babyface, just like Triple H, just like Stone Cold. You grow up watching these guys, and, you know, I remember when Triple H was Greenwich Snob. You know, he briefly was for one time in WCW and then managed to come to WWE. So, what is my fandom obsession with Triple H? When you got a guy that is the total package, which is he can promo, he can work, he can still hang with the new guys. You know, he had a match at WrestleMania 33 with Seth Rollins. Not only that, the man is a villain that everyone falls in love with. Why? Because no matter if you're, you know, Kurt Angle's supposed in I say this in quote. Jason Jordan is Kurt Angle's son for gimmick, and it's really fucking funny that they put that into effect, which is funny. Anyways, I'm getting off track here. So last night, Bray Wyatt versus Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan was on a roll. He did win the match against Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt didn't really fucking care. So, what exactly happened? I'll explain. Raw was a bunch of chaos like it always has. So, the matches on Monday Night Raw for Take Home, the promos, as I said, I didn't have much to complain about. I really didn't have much to complain about other than the placement. So, if you're going to play some matches, you, as a promoter, got to say to yourself, okay, I have pay-per-view on Sunday, so how am I going to make sure that every single one of my guys are healthy for Sunday? These are big-name players. You got Finn Balor, you've got Samoa Joe, you've got Cesaro, Sheamus. Team Raw looks like it's amazingly strong, and that's probably one of the reasons why I'm going to get myself a Raw t-shirt is because, does SmackDown Live stand a chance in hell? Do they really? I mean, right now, Raw looks like the uber power team, but we've seen this before. SmackDown Live looked like they had a promising roster before with team members. So, Oh, God. Jinder Mahal and Triple H. Oh, jeez. I just saw a preview, ladies and gentlemen, of what, you know, the world's worst WrestleMania 2018 card would be. There, people always forget that WWE says that their stuff is sold out, and they're not lying. It's just when you go to the event, they're not sold. Their sole concern is not, okay, how many seats did we not sell? It's how many did we sell, how much merchandise did we go through in one night. I guarantee you, just like Ring of Honor, just like any actual wrestling organization, they are not worried. And I'm getting off track here. Triple H returning to the ring for Survivor Series, what everyone's buzzing about. I wouldn't say that, because everyone's buzzing about different things like Cody Rhodes and Dalton Castle, Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. It's a split, the happy-go-lucky split amongst wrestling fans and what they can argue about, or what we can argue about, my bad, not they, we. So what's more important, Triple H returning to Survivor Series, Dalton Castle returning to face off with Cody Rhodes and the Bullet Club, or Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho? It's an open poll, folks. I mean, you can message me, Russell_radio. You can message me directly. Oh, and if you haven't already done so, go to Ace Anderson's Facebook page. You can donate $25 for Autism Awareness Month. See, I'm coming up with random shit that I believe is important. So, by all means, it may be sounding all over the place, but go and do that right now. $20 will be donated to the Autism Fund. $5 will be donated for shipping so that Ace can give you the shirt. So by all means, do something awesome and amazing. Anyways, folks, yes, I do realize Off the Rails Uncensored is on Wednesday. But I'm going to give my take on WWE pay-per-views. It's not going to be the longest off the rails as it was last week. It's going to be hour-long segments. And again, what the fuck does this have to do with Triple H returning to the ring? So I can finally get back on fucking track here. Triple H returning to the ring. What does that mean for WWE? I don't think it means shit, because here's the thing. Triple H returning to the ring. What is this setting up? The feud between Roman Reigns and other Shield members? Is Triple H, you know, reuniting the Shield? Or what is his... There's always a plan when Triple H returns. There's always something that segues into the ultimate feud between random superstar and random superstar. I don't honestly know why or what holds for Triple H's return. I've read rumors as to what's going to happen. But honestly, I mean, guys, let's take a look at what has transpired the last few years that Triple H has returned. The last few years that Triple H has returned, he's been an authoritative figure in which he goes one-on-one multiple times with Dean Ambrose, or multiple times with Seth Rollins, my bad, because Rollins etched himself out of the equation because Triple H interfered in the Kevin Owens-Seth Rollins match. Kevin Owens became the Universal Champion. And then Kevin Owens drops it to Goldberg. I mean, there's questionable booking. There's questionable returns that happen every time that Triple H steps away and lets two people or three take control. So, what is his how does his return impact WWE as a whole? That's a good question. Honestly, how Triple H, you know, how does his return impact WWE as a whole? Well, for starters, it just gave Team Raw the ultimate edge over Team SmackDown Live, because that you would think that as a fan, but is there something hidden? Is there something hidden that we're not aware of? The COO of WWE, is he going to pull the wool over our eyes? He's got you thinking that. Is he going to turn on Team Raw? Is there going to be dissension in the ranks for Team Raw? Because now Triple H just ultimately took Jason Jordan's place. Is Jason Jordan going to cost his dad, his supposed father, the match because Kurt Angle didn't have his back? You know, there's a lot of things going on that Triple H has created. It's called the stir. That's what you want as a wrestling company. That's what you want as a whole. And I don't know what fans around the world are thinking, but I'm pretty sure they're happy that War Games is a thing, because they should do different WCW themes all the time for NXT. I mean, look at how successful NXT has become. And as I said, NXT's father, the creator, Triple H, is now involved at the event in Houston. So how does this directly impact? I think it's going to be run smoothly. I mean, obviously Triple H can multitask. That's why I guess you could say he's been preparing to fight. If it's as if the live events didn't get us hooked like they used to back in the early 90s and mid-90s. Triple H participated, you know, in a match with The Shield. He didn't notice his armband. It said DA on it. Dean Ambrose. A lot of speculation going on right now. It's not confirmed. It hasn't been denied. It's just been reported on WrestlingNews.co that Triple H is going to pluck Ambrose away from The Shield, because The Shield's only going to last for 6 months, according to this source. Then, I guess, is that going to put Ambrose in the title picture? I mean, like he did for Seth Rollins? Because, you know, Triple H is getting involved at Survivor Series, a lot of questions are being raised. A lot of things are not, you know, adding up. Because sometimes, like I said, you look at a card on paper and you say, okay, this card, this team against this team, from this perspective, they look like they're going to absolutely obliterate this team. You never know, guys. Team SmackDown Live could actually pull one out of their ass. But with Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Braun Strowman, Triple H, and Kurt Angle, I think I've said this before. How in the blue hell, what chance in a blue hell does SmackDown Live have now? You look at everything that Shane McMahon has done. He put Raw under siege. He attacked Monday Night Raw. New Day came over to distract the tag team champions, The Shield, and The Shield dropped the titles to, well, Sheamus and Cesaro. So, question is, are things piecing themselves together? See, I don't like fucking overanalyzing wrestling, but now I kind of just am wondering, okay, I know Raw has all the talent. It doesn't seem like they're utilizing them at all. But, honest to God, I'm going to laugh, you know, if Raw puts all these teams together and then in the end, SmackDown Live comes out on top victorious. It's a never say never, man. You never know. As Dusty Rhodes says, you never know until you go all the way through. Bully, bully. Like I said, I can pull random quotes out of my ass because I can. That's why. My thoughts about Survivor Series are as follows. I and others will be going and watching. Others will be watching from the WWE Network, or others will be like, I don't care about WWE pay-per-views. I only watch quality wrestling. Again, it's your own feel and take on it, man. You got fans from around the world watching not just WWE, but other, you know, wrestling like Evolve and Wrestling Revolver. So, I mean, it's up to you how you feel about watching a pay-per-view that hasn't really had any kind of luster at it at all, because of what's transpired over the last few years on Survivor Series hasn't been all that grand. I mean, there's bits and pieces to it that have been great, and then there's bits and pieces to it that have not been all that grand. What am I referring to? WWE pay-per-views in general. I'm going to cover that tomorrow, you know, what's been good, what's been bad, and what's been ugly about it. Right now, I'd like to take the time out to say, man, it feels great. Feels great being independent. Feels great running the show. Oh, and it feels awesome being able to talk without being interrupted. And I'm not going to touch on it every single show, but it feels kind of odd, but it feels liberating, awesome. Feels invigorating. Hell, it feels like, you know, after sex and you need a cigarette kind of thing. I mean, it feels that kind of good. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to parlay my thoughts about wrestling booking, fan, you know, the dynamic of fan, and also I would like to relay my thoughts on wrestling debates, because those are so much fun, aren't they? I'm going to do that because I've now got a full hour that I can discuss that with you in. So let's get this road on the show, shall we? Come on, I know it was cheesy, but hit my fucking music.
The cost of something I would be. I know your anger, I know your dream. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of something I would be.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So here's the deal. I'm going to tell you right now, the fan dynamic in wrestling is as follows. Not every fan likes the baby face. I love the fans. I love our fans from Australia. I love our fans anywhere in the world. I love our fans from Norway, France, Japan. I love you all. Here's the reasons why. Because it's so interesting to see who fans will cheer for and how long they'll cheer for them. The dynamic that an audience will give you is boo, try to get, you know, themselves over with chants. Let, you know, fans are fans. They're awesome for it. Do you know why? Because without ticket sales, without direct ticket sales, not just ticket sales, but list, and not just listens, you guys are the ones that give, you know, people a sense of purpose. What do I mean by that? If it weren't for fans showing up to shows, wrestlers, managers, referees, you guys wouldn't have anything to go off of now, would you? I'm sure you could do a show with a silent arena, and you know, it's been done before, The Rock and Mankind and various other wrestlers and workers that have done their time in empty arenas just to get a feel for the show. But just imagine a world without fans. And I, you know, imagine a world without us. Reason why I say that is because certain people will be like, well, I enjoy it, I have to be cordial, but behind closed doors, oh my God, you leave that one person? So some fans, you know, they, let's just say it, they're the dynamic of wrestling fans, you have fans that try to get themselves over, you know, they make their signs, they are awesome, they cheer, they get upset, you know, they get wrapped up in the moment. But that's what fandom is all about, is it not? I mean, I said this before, people trying to tell fans how to feel outside of their gimmick, you know, and they say, well, you know, you shouldn't feel this way about me, yada, yada, because there's a certain level of insecurity from a worker, you know, work perspective, and that is, if the fans don't cheer for me this way, then maybe I should try something different. Maybe I should try not being a condescending jackass, or maybe I should be an asshole and see what happens. The problem now, the dynamic of wrestling fan is they don't mind you being the asshole. That is how far you carry it. How you carry your persona, I should say. It all depends. Fans will react if they have something basic in front of them. You guys suck. You guys are terrible. Blah, 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 blah. If I say that Joe Schmo is terrible during a promo and that he should lose weight and go to Jenny Craig or go to, you know, those weight loss diet programs, if I made the kid cry, I did my job. Then some people will say, oh, my God, that's too far. He should make a kid cry. I wouldn't know what that feels like because I haven't made kid cry. I made people, you know, boo my ass. I've been booed before in GPW. I've been, doesn't matter. Fans will always find ways to, you know, get involved, and that's good. You need fans to boo. You need fans to cheer. But the problem is now, in modern-day wrestling settings, is that if you go to an indie show, they definitely know who the baby faces and heels are, but you'll still always have those fans that no matter what you do as a heel, you could do something so horrible, and the crowd would cheer you. That's how amazing this is. The crowd will fucking cheer you. If you did something dirty behind the referee's back, if you decided, oh, you know, this is how I'm going to do this tonight, and you get a completely different reaction from whichever crowd you're in. And also, crowd's reaction depends on which region you're in. If you're in the Midwest, or you're in the East Coast, or you're in the West Coast, or if you're in different, like, southeast, southwest. It all depends on how you know how to gauge a crowd as a worker. As a fan, man, I tell you what, being on both sides of the spectrum, I've watched plenty of wrestling shows. I've been to NWL, I've been to Evolve, I've been to Ring of Honor. I've been to plenty of shows, meaning I've been to CZW. Does that mean I've completed my wrestling spectrum? No. But as a fan, it's definitely hard because once you've been on the other side of the tracks, no pun intended, once you've been on the other side of the tracks and you see that, oh, I don't know, It's hard to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I can see and dissect the match. But if I'm watching Div of, okay, this is, you know, the Shine, this is the Takeo, or these are the Falsies. Like I said, I'm not a wrestler, but I've been on the other side of the spectrum as a manager, and to see fans sit there and literally dissect the terminologies the wrong way, is there a wrong or right way to well, that bump right there looked botched. That fall looked completely horrible. He landed wrong. My thoughts in my head are, have you been to wrestling school? Have you been trained? And who is your trainer? And then you get the reaction, well, I would try out, but I'd only be good as a manager. You know, certain fans make sense when they try and say stuff like that. What I'm saying is, the dynamic of wrestling fan, when you have majority of them cheering for the heel, the age demographic being 25 and older, if, you know, you were a fan since I was a fan, meaning if you were born in the age range from 1987 on, if you were born in the age range of 1970, 60, and so forth, going lower in decades, there's different dynamic of wrestling fan. You knew who the heels were. You knew who the baby faces were, like Vader and Hogan, or Vader and Sting, Vader and Cactus Jack, Stan Hansen. I mean, guys that you knew were the heels, guys that you knew for sure were the baby faces, Abdul the Butcher, Bruiser Brody, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Randy Savage. I'm naming basics here, Honky Tonk Man, Legion of Doom. You know, you got to understand that back then wrestling was not, it was so simple to follow because you knew who your baby faces were, you knew who your heels were, you knew who the dynamics were. But crowds, they'll cheer for anything, is the truth. It's not basic anymore. It's depending on which region you are, that's who you cheer for, this is who you boo. It's always etched in stone now with wrestling fans, with us, I should say. This group, you know, they like Samoa Joe or Finn Balor. They say, oh, I like Balor better because he's more high-flying. He's got more charisma than Joe. That's not true. Joe can fly for a big man. Take one look at the direction that companies are going in. I find it alluring that, you know, you see a Ring of Honor event. You see a lot of suicide dives. That's why the joke, there's, you go to an independent show, as Randy Orton was quoted saying, and you see a lot of guys who take dives and work in an armory for only $80 pay. Again, the dynamic of company is the WWE, you get to go, or you get invited to the Performance Center in Tampa. You train, you do as good as you can possibly do, and then if you're lucky, you get noticed by the big boss, then you start getting a paycheck. How does this work? I mean, you get a royalty check, you get an average, you know, you get a salary check. How does it work? The dynamic of company versus the dynamic of fans. Okay. Company depends on where you work, depends on how hard you work, and also if you're a servant to the business. Serving the business is harder than it sounds because if you're a full-time wrestler, that means you've devoted your whole life to being on the road. You devoted your whole life taking time away from your family. So what aspect is, you know, what does dynamic of company have to do with dynamic of family? There's different denominations. There's Ring of Honor. There's CZW, there's WWE, there's IWGP in Japan. There's MPJW. There's also different brands for women, too. There's Shimmer, there's Women of Honor. But they all circle around the same thing, except for the fact that there's, oh, well, we do things differently. This is not WWE. I mean, it's gotten to that point where if they have a worker that goes through the system, They're only too happy to say that we're different because we draw more of a crowd. We're more pure wrestling than the E. Again, the debate will always be put into effect whenever you are a worker, when you're a fan, which brings me to my next and third and final point that I'm going to talk to you today on Off the Rails Wrestle Radio Edition, and that is wrestling debates. Oh, how fun those can be. It's just like debating in sports. Who is your favorite football team? Who is your favorite basketball team? And who is your favorite hockey team? You know that those elements are never going to be agreed upon, because why? As in the wrestling world, it's always good to be different, right? I have a friend who likes teams that, not teams, but tag teams and solos that are, you know, boring as hell and they have no fucking charisma about them. But then, you know, if you're just basing it off of wrestling skill alone, then I guess, you know, you can base your like off that. But if you also look at current rosters and current names like Sami Callihan, Jacob Manning, you look at different names that bring about interest in the world of professional wrestling. You look at Palmer, Ricochet. Then you look at a guy that and MPJW has wowed the universe of wrestling, Kenny Omega. And you look at how much interest and intrigue he's brought upon wrestling fans, and how much debate he can bring when it comes to pure wrestling. So he says that he's better and above any WWE wrestler on any roster. Again, you know, I'm not going to touch base with that, because some people say, well, you're a WWE mark, so therefore you're not going to touch base because you're afraid that you'll get put into the ground. I'm not afraid of anybody who comes up to me and says they know wrestling just as good as anyone. Because as the last person I put in his place in St. Louis, I said, if you know wrestling so well, then why, you know, aren't you training at a school? Why aren't you running a podcast? Why aren't you going to different wrestling shows outside of WWE? The reason why I say that wrestling debates are so much fun in a sarcastic tone of voice is because they're just the same or the equivalent thereof of a political debate, a sports team debate. It's not fun. So people who sit there and think that they're always right come up to me and say, well, you should like this group of people. I mean, I'll give them a chance. I will see what they can do in the ring. But as far as them not producing any form of ounce of entertainment, I'm looking for more than just entertainment when it comes to wrestling. I'm looking for a group of people or one person who stands out as an individual and says, you know what? Screw all of you. I'm going to be different, but I'm still going to be, you know, entertaining fans, signing autographs. I'm still going to be the guy or gal that is the one, that is the person, that is the answer to what you guys have been wanting. So, again, when someone says or comes up to me and says, I don't really like this, you know, I don't like the way that this was presented. Again, I'll say it now. Wrestling debates over a Chris Jericho Omega or Cody Rhodes, and was he right, was he wrong in what he did? There are certain debates that start over for no reason. Oh, well, SmackDown's a better show than Raw, or Ring of Honor signed Cody Rhodes. What do you think? Again, guys, I hate to break it to you, but on a Colt Cabana podcast, the former promoter for Ring of Honor, who handed down the show to Delirious, Gabe, I believe, he said, I can compete with WWE, I'm just not going head-to-head with a machine. although WWE needs competition, they do. They're getting a lot of it from the outside world known as the indies. This is where debates take a turn for the worse. A lot of people believe that the independent scene is more pure and better than WWE. I don't care what people say. I just watch wrestling because I want to enjoy it. That's my take on this issue. You know, you go to an event, you pay the $10 to $20 for an independent event to enjoy. Some independent events like Wrestling Revolver or Evolve cost more because they've got more well-known names like Matthew Riddle, Darby Allin, Jeff Cobb. I mean, you've got names like Matt Riddle, Palmer, all of that. You've got names, big names, like former wrestler, you know, for WWE, Jack Swagger. He's not a big name, but he is known by his accolades. So what does this have to do with anything? Wrestling debates start over, well, this guy did this, and if you're just reading the fucking tabloids about these guys and their talents, can get annoying in a conversation. So how do you carry on a peaceful debate and a funny one? Those are the debates that I enjoy as far as pro wrestling. As far as pro wrestling debates go, like, yeah, I did enjoy their promo, but I really didn't enjoy this, and this about the promo. But those debates are fun. The debate as far as I don't really know why this guy went over and this company to... Okay. That's the point where in the conversation that I tune people out because, as I said, I've worked both sides of the spectrum and I am still learning a lot about being on fan side of the spectrum and the workers' side of the spectrum. So, wrestling fan dynamic, when I sit there and watch a show at NWL, it's basic. It's funny. Sometimes the Midwest understands it. Sometimes they don't. But every time that I've been to an NWL show, the fans boo the heels and they cheer the baby faces. It's kind of funny. But when you go to a WWE show, man alive, okay, so what is the difference between that dynamic, the WWE, and a local promotion better known as NWO? Obviously, one is run every Monday, Tuesday, and have live events, and obviously one is run locally in Kansas, Missouri, and soon to be Nebraska. So what the difference is the baby faces in WWE. Obviously, I guess now you can classify the Shield as a group of baby faces. I wouldn't say that there's a difference between them and New Day because New Day sometimes gets booed, but very seldom because they're so over. It's just, it's unreal. I mean, like, I'm not a big fan of overdoing a gimmick, and I think New Day is kind of overdone. Don't get me wrong, they are funny. They are comic relief, but to take them seriously, it took a Hell in a Cell match for me to finally gain a sense of seriousness about them. But anyways, like I said, the dynamic of a babyface getting booed or cheered, like Bayley got booed during a promo, and that was in Canada. And it just felt like, it's funny, it's how you present your babyface and how you present your heel. And also, the dynamic of fan, it can vary whether or not you know your heels or your baby faces. And I'm just going to tell you right now, you hear baby face, Bob Stern. There's more terms that shouldn't be released to the masses, and it just, Unless you're a worker, this is my feel. Unless you are a worker, unless you have been on the other side of the business, please, as Jericho used to poignantly say, shut the hell up. Would you please shut the hell up? Because if I'm trying to enjoy a show, oh man, I hope they're going to give him a heel turn. At one Iowa show, I gladly shut down, you know, one fan who consistently used terminology during a show, and it's like, just the silent hums turn into, congratulations, you knew, you now know what a term is. Oh, that's all they have. I don't give a fuck. If you know what heel and face, and you know the elements of a match, that's the area you lose fans, you know, certain groups of people, because they're interested in the innards of inner workings of wrestling, right? Some of them, not all. There's always a beginning, middle, and end to a match, right? So you have your shine, the heat done by the heels, the false hopes. There's a lot of false hopes in indie wrestling. Just to fair warn those of you who are not familiar with that. And then the take home. So in wrestling, if you keep things basic, are certain fans going to be happy with you? The answer to that question, and I don't speak for most of the fans around the world, but if you keep it basic, you keep it simple, that's the formula for successful wrestling, in my opinion. Why? Because, you know, nothing out of the ordinary, too much. And you know who your heels and baby faces are. Isn't that what you call predictable? I don't mind predictable every once in a while, but I also don't mind shaking things up. See, I'm one of those fans that if you do something, I like to be in the know about it because I'm nosy. I'm a nosy bitch. But I also grew up a little bit thanks to Uncle Bob. Every day that he posts something, you know, on his Facebook, I'm talking about Brutal Bob Evans, you watch the show to enjoy, right? You watch the show to learn, or do you watch the show just to pick it apart and criticize it? There is no wrong or right answer in wrestling, is what he's taught me. So if you like a baby face, say that this is the reason why you like him or her, you're not wrong. Now, this is where it gets tricky, because if you go to a wrestling show, just be careful on which waters you're treading on, because there's a group of jackasses, like I dealt with in Iowa. Here's what the whole debate started over. Joey Ryan has been known as the jokester in wrestling, but he also, you know, he has a huge cult following, so I don't know. I'm confused. Because I have gone back and forth with following him, and gone back and forth, meaning I have short attention span when it comes to indie wrestling. There's a lot of people that catch my attention, and he's one of them. Simply because the dick flipping gimmick, it's kind of funny, it's interesting, it's kind of annoying, but you still watch it, so it's kind of one of those, I guess I can touch base with you on watching your shit, because Joey Ryan's one awesome dude. I was so tired from a 2-hour drive, 2 hours and 44 minutes to be exact, to Clive. So, yeah. And he was nice enough to point out where I had placed my money. It was embarrassing because I know I either placed it in my... Well, the point is, the debate between me and said people, I said to them, Okay, so don't you think, though, that he might want to be taken seriously in his career as, you know, a worker and not just the comedic relief? But then I thought to myself, I was like, but then again, you know, I said, do you think Doink the Clown is laughing in his grave that he was the clown for his entire career? But how can you knock someone for having a career, period, despite the fact that their personal life has nothing to do with their career? If you judge them by your personal life, then you better start judging yourself. So how did the debate get heated? Well, I'm sure he's laughing with his paycheck. If you just wrestle for the money, that's your prerogative, is what I said. It was a peaceful debate. I just didn't really like the way that I was made fun of because of the cane that I am accustomed to walking with. Is that your for real cane, or is that your for life cane? That's more of a personal thing, and I'm not going to fucking delve into that because that would sound fucking really funny and petty on so many levels. So, whenever I find a wrestling debate, I'm going to, you know, just tell you this right now. I've learned with workers, be careful what you say. With fans, just dip out. Unless you are asked, then, you know, give your input. It's the simplest thing that people forget to notice, and that's like, well, I would, but I could. Or I should, but I should not. So, I shouldn't, but should not, meaning I should give my two cents, or I should not give my two cents. Questions that should be in your head whenever you start a debate with a wrestling fan versus a wrestling worker. Because a worker can sit there and be peaceful with you until you start saying stuff that irks their nerves. So in other words, just be yourself. And if they ask you, what do you think of this? I really thought that this point in the match was decent, but the heat was kind of shitty because you really didn't do anything with your valet, you know, to help you cheat, you know, to get some cheap heat from the crowd. If it's just input about a match, that's fine. But if it was, man, your match was really shitty, I wish I could wrestle in there because I could show you a thing or two. Now you're imposing your opinion about something you know that couldn't be possible, because if you don't have experience in the ring, then you look like the foolish one. Same thing with fans. If I was in that ring, I would have kicked some ass. Even though they know they're blowing smoke out their ass, it's still funny to hear, you know, fans sit there and tell you, if I was involved in the match, mate, I think I probably would have done a better job. My horrible, shitty English accent. My apologies, UK. Here's my take on everything and anything that has been a wrestling debate. I remember at one point in time, you know, debating over somebody who's kind of pointless now, but he still gets merchandise checks because fans still buy his stuff. Who am I referring to? Enzo Amore. It gets debated a lot whether people think he's an entertainer, he's this, that, the other. What is, you know, one person's like will be another person's detestment or constant hate. So, in other words, what logic am I, you know, what is logic in the world of wrestling? No one knows. How do you win an argument? You can't. I mean, you could, but you never are. It's a lose-lose situation. Whether you're a worker, whether you're a fan, people are still going to sit there and gripe and bellyache and bitch at you and tell you, man, your show, Wrestle Radio, all you talk about is that stupid group, and all you talk about is you being mad at the world. No, I don't just talk about being mad at the world. That's another thing I'm going to discuss with you tomorrow. I've discussed many a times about the fan dynamic and also what type of fans. But without fans, think of this, without wrestling fans, you wouldn't have arenas being filled with people. You wouldn't have fun discussions. And I'm not talking about discussions that will make you put your head in your lap and say, God damn it, why am I discussing this with this stupid motherfucker? Sometimes that goes through my head. Not with all my friends, but, you know, with certain people that you just, you want to say something, but you hold your tongue. And I'm pretty sure that's how some people feel with me. I'd like to say something to you, but I feel like I'm going to hurt your feelings. No, not entirely. I don't think you would hurt my feelings if you were honest. That's the other thing. What good does it do somebody if they're not honest with people in business? That's a very shady quality that I've noticed in the business, is that not all of it's negative, not all of it's positive. There's an in-between. Or you could be one of those people that has a positive outlook and a positive mindset, and everything, you know, it happens for a reason. So how does this pan out for the discussion or the topics that I'm discussing with you? Well, here it is. I'm growing by, you know, learning to move on and basically discuss you the hot topics of wrestling. But at the same time, I'm going to be fucking real with you and tell you exactly the inner workings of how the business actually works. And that is, you got to be the one to get up and serve it, because if you expect service from it first, guess what, guys? That's not how life works. Like, if you go to a company, you work hard, you can be the silent, you know, give the company the silent treatment, which means work hard, work your way up a position. You make manager, you make partner, whatever higher position you're at. But in wrestling, if you actually travel, you build a website, you get t-shirts going, you start building an empire of fans, you've done your work, but it's a constant working game. It's a constant, you know, it's a constant grind. I, like I told you, I've had a love-hate relationship with wrestling for the longest time. I've hated it to the point where I never wanted to see a wrestling ring again. I've hated it to the point where I would still watch programming, but I'd still have that ultra uber hatred for, just because of the way that I, you know, underwent certain things in the business. And now that I have the freedom and the time being to go above and beyond all of this, you know, it's like, how do I go above and beyond as a super fan? Well, you know, driving myself to Houston is one step. I am having eye surgery in a few weeks, so I'm trying to make the best of a situation in which I know is going to be difficult for me in a few weeks. But wrestling is the one therapy that has kept my head on a swivel, has kept me sane. And that, you know, that in itself, I have tried every time to give you guys quality show after quality show. But see, the difference between trying and actually giving you quality is, am I doing this shit on the fly? Am I just doing this to ramble or to hear the sound of my own voice? No. I am doing this because I realize, you know, there's certain subjects that, you know, you don't hear about on Total Divas, or you don't see on all the behind-the-scenes WWE documentaries that you see. Like, you'll hear guys and what they think of themselves. Let me tell you, I don't think any differently than some of those guys, because I may not be a Goldberg, I may not be a Ric Flair. Sure as hell I'm not ever going to be in the magnitude of Ric Flair ever. I'm not a Chris Jericho, but I am Brian Rails. And I got to tell you, the dynamic of fans, the wrestling debates that go on nowadays, it's amazing what you hear in certain circles. Does it need my approval for them to have a proper wrestling discussion? No. What I'm telling you is, it's amazing how many fans forget that they're on the same level as every other fan. Oh, I'm this type of fan, so I'm better than, you know, this fan. I write this, so I must be a better individual than the next fan. And that's retarded, guys, because we as wrestling fans are so divided, it's not even funny, because you have fans that like one group of people, but they're like, oh, well, I like The Shield because of the fact that Ambrose and Rollins are running the show. Or I like The New Day because they're hilarious and they got quick whips about them. Their promos are great. They always manage to find a way to get expletives into their promos. Then, you know, the debate gets nasty, and one fan will say to another, well, you only like it because you're a mark for this blah, blah, blah. When they start using the word, you guys do realize that when you use that term, I've been guilty of doing this. You're a mark, blah, 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 blah. Please don't use terminologies about yourselves, because we are all marks for somebody. And whenever it's used, that word is used in a debate, that's a very hurtful word. Yes, it can be used for psychotic fans and fans who just don't have any form of etiquette whatsoever. Okay, so what am I referring to? When a worker classifies a fan, you know, says or pegs them as a mark, it's not a very gratifying feeling. So don't take this the wrong way, but whenever I was in Brooklyn and I heard somebody else say the marks are ruining it for everybody, so you're referring to yourself? Just saying, you're referring to yourself as someone who is marking out for all the guys and gals that come through there, like a Sasha Banks or a Shinsuke Nakamura, who took selfies, who was nice enough to take selfies with all of us at the Holiday Inn that they were staying at. Wrestling fan dynamic. Is there any fans left of pure baby faces? I'm sure the answer is yes. Are there wrestling fans of both the dynamics, heel and baby face, or tweeners? I don't know. If I go around Houston, I don't know if that crowd is going to be basic or if that crowd is going to be whatever. I'm just going to have a damn good time is what I'm going to tell you. And tomorrow you can expect a lot of me explaining, like, what I can, you know, what I expect as a fan and what my perspectives are as a former worker. Not anything special, because you won't find anything. Well, you might find a few things under my name, but what I'm going to discuss with you is worker, fan, and wrestling debates, how fun those can be, and also hot topics in wrestling and how to cover them, because you don't want to overcover Omega versus Jericho. It's going to be hot button discussion, but I don't want to forget to mention the fact that Paige was returning and how they got negated because of her picture with Alicia Fox. See, different things, different sources will tell you this is the reason why Paige did not come back. I think it would have been a perfect fit. However, I don't know how certain people would perceive that, other than, okay, she had a lot of controversy on the outside. As again, I said, I'll tell you, I'm not a big fan of Paige's, but Bayley and Sasha teaming up for the umpteenth time, this will be debated. Is it a good fit for Monday Night Raw? They had to play their cards right. So they went the conservative route and used Bayley to avoid all the emails and complaints about Paige, people who read up on her and what she did. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, personal past can come back to haunt you, including sex tapes. So there's a wrestling debate right there. Oh, she's cute. Yeah, she obviously didn't know how to handle a personal shit. Does everybody know how to handle their personal business and keep it offline? I mean, I'm pretty sure people can surface up things about different wrestlers and say, okay, well, this is a sex tape or these are some sexy revealing. And what does it have to do with wrestling debates, fan dynamic, and whatever? From a fan dynamic, Paige was cheered as a babyface and as a heel. She's also, you know, debated upon what was going to be her future, which is hilarious. So just telling you guys right now, it's going to be interesting tomorrow. I promise you I won't be all over the place, but I can't guarantee you anything. I'm excited for Houston. Cannot wait. It's going to be awesome. I hope to see you guys tomorrow. Thanks. Oh, before I go, thank you, Australia. Thank you, Norway. Thank you, France. Thank you, Canada, United States. Everyone who tunes in to Wrestle Radio and Off the Rails Uncensored, we are going to be bigger and badder in 2018, and that's not just promise. That is not just hearsay. It is going to be an actual thing. So, this is Brian Rails from Wrestle Radio. Have a nice day, night, whatever. If you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be.